preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. You join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
So grateful you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace. We're continuing our study about the church in Pergamos, and I want to rehearse a little bit of the key points we made yesterday, since it's so vital to understand and move forward in our study of these churches. And we've been contrasting here the churches, looking at the problems in Ephesus, which had left its first love, and now Pergamos, which has the opposite problem. And I quoted yesterday a statement by G.K. Beale that an overemphasis on doctrinal purity can lead to a lack of concern for the outside world, whereas an underemphasis can lead to over-identification with the world. That's a huge problem. And, you know, I said yesterday, we hear this all the time. Oh, you're too doctrinal. Doctrine divides. Bring it down. Let's drown out the differences. Come on, we're all Christians here. What there needs to be is love. Wasn't that the old song years ago? All we need is love. We know what happens when truth is promoted at the expense of love. You create Pharisees. But what happens when love is promoted at the expense of the truth? In other words, what happens when it's just all about love? I'll tell you, love becomes nothing more than sheer sentimentalism. That's why you have people today whose sole gauge of spirituality when they walk into a church boils down to one question: how did they feel? Well, you should know by now, feelings are misleading. The content ultimately today has little importance with people. It's sheer unmediated feeling that guides people's decisions. And it's just sad, you know, that we could have all of our priorities wrong because of this. This is what becomes of love when it's not guided by the truth. That's the balance that we have to keep in mind. Things have to be balanced between love and truth. And that then is the problem in Pergamos. It's the opposite to that of Ephesus. This church held fast to his name. They were being persecuted. One of their members was put to death. They didn't even deny Jesus through this. But they were tolerant and compromising in allowing other views that were contrary to the truth. You see the dilemma? That you may not deny the truth, but you simultaneously tolerate false doctrines. That, dear listener, is compromise. When you know the truth, you believe the truth, you're not willing to deny the truth, you stand on the truth, but are open and accepting of others who do not share in the truth. That is the definition of a compromising church. That's exactly what Jesus is dealing with the church in Pergamos. I want you to notice verse 14. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus, you also have there those who hold to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Whoa, get that? It wasn't that they denied the truth, it was that they would not rise up against those among them holding things contrary to the truth. See how subtle the devil is? The way that Christ explains this is by using very familiar things that happened to Israel to make the comparison. But we really have to grasp the problem. It wasn't that the church leaders didn't hold the truth. It was that they allowed and accepted and didn't get bothered that other ideas were being promoted. That is really bothering Jesus. The guardian of the gospel, that which was committed to our trust, means all the more to him than we will ever realize. Remember, Jesus was crucified because of his stance on the truth. what we're dealing with. It's agreed today that those who held to the doctrine of Balaam and those who held to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans were the same thing. We got to really get under the fabric here and look at what was being promoted in the church. What were these things? Well, the devil had planted this problem in Ephesus, and now he's planting it here. And this is just how he works. He takes an idea and he begins to spread it. And he spread it, and it gains today. It's going to become a church, and then it's going to get planted everywhere. And you know, it's just tragic how this so easily pops up today, and anyone and everyone can start a church. But we get the idea of this from what happened in Israel's history with Balaam. Balaam was that pagan prophet who was hired by Balak of Moab to pronounce prophetic curses on Israel. Well, God wouldn't let him. So every time he spoke, instead of curses, blessings came out. It's an amazing section. But then Balaam devised a different plan. That's not working. He tells Balak, go get all the beautiful women of Moab to seduce the children of Israel to partake of the idolatrous and immoral feasts that they have. So we know they were seduced to eat things offered to idols and commit sexual immorality. So we can kind of piece this together. What happened in Israel is none of the leaders stopped it. They just let it all go. They were tolerant. And they got judged for that. Well, what's happening in Pergamos? These people were saying, listen, we're free in the gospel. And that liberty means we don't have to distance ourselves very far from these pagan practices. We're saved by grace. We're not under the law. Now, remember, Jude described this problem as those who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness, meaning, hey, it's all grace. In the whole scheme of things, it doesn't matter what you do. And the Apostle Paul dealt with this in Romans 6 by asking the question, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That was the thought. You don't have to distance yourself from the culture. You can get involved in it. You're a Christian. You are being too strict. You're too secluded. So what you're getting here is the opposite of Phariseeism. And I see this all the time. People flop from extreme to extreme. People flop from what? Strict doctrinal environments to then other sides and other extremes where there's absolutely no doctrine and all of it's just feeling, emotion, and everything else. And the opposite extreme is common. Don't be legalistic. You can do whatever you want now. Let loose with your idolatries. The fourth commandment, honor the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Nah. You know, the Sunday Sabbath? No, you don't have to worry about that. Christ knows you're weak. Christ understands. He doesn't want you to be unreasonable. He knows your dust. He remembers your frame. And you're all high and mighty in your convictions. You're turning everyone off. See the other side of the ditch here? I hear it all the time today. In this environment, who gets attacked in these environments? Well, it's anyone with conviction. And anyone with conviction is labeled as legalistic, strict, joyless, old school, traditional, stuffy, and on and on and on. And so for the church in Pergamos, what made this so difficult is that the people holding to these ideas were not intentionally trying to deceive people in the church. But their ideas had the effect of diluting the exclusive claims that the church had to maintain. And this was a path of dilution right into the world. And what really burdens me is that, you know, when the church is willing, dear listener, to compromise in this way, what they're essentially saying is they don't care about the souls of their people. So that when that which claims to be done in love by tolerating stuff is, in fact, not love at all, but rather reckless abuse to the ministry of reconciling souls to Christ. I see so much pastoral abuse today because people won't protect sheep from falsehood. And a neglectful church to protect the truth, listen, this is what Jesus is saying. It begins on a path of assimilating right into the culture that refuses to stand against it. And when that happens to the church, put it together. If Satan's throne is there, won't the church itself soon become that? That's the great apostasy. So Christ wants everyone to know something. Truth matters, dear listener. To those who hold the idea that it doesn't really matter what you believe, or you shouldn't be critical of other Christian practices, or, you know, Christ wants you to know he's not on your side on that. He's far from you on that. That's not his position. His truth means everything to him. The truth of who he is and how we are to live in holiness and sanctity before him. And that leads to his call to overcome. That's what he says in verse 16. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. I want you to turn around. I want you to go the other way. Advance my truth in love. But if you stubbornly refuse to do that, what does he threaten to do? Notice he says, he's not coming after the church itself. Who's he coming after? I'm going to fight against them. That's the greatest burden to me as a pastor, that the Lord so protects and loves his people, his church, that when there are people among us pulling them away, if we as church leaders don't deal with them, the Lord will. He will protect his sheep. And I want nothing more than for those compromising the truth to repent in the day of salvation. And let me just give you a brief example of this. You know, when I was in a church preparing, you know, for ministry, and there was a sweet old couple there, sweet old couple. And I got invited over to dinner. And after dinner, the man pulled me aside and said, "You don't believe in this whole notion of sin, do you?" And then he proceeded to deny that crucial article of the faith. We then went back upstairs and we talked about it further. And the wife says to me, "Yeah, I don't know about my husband's position, but I'm really starting to doubt it too. Do you think he's right?" He was influencing her. Now, these were two very sweet older people in the church. You know, they never rocked the boat. They were nice people. They were of the grain. They were of the cut. They were really, really sharp people. But I had to warn them. And I went back to those elders of that church and I said, "Brothers, you got to go after them. They're departing from the faith. If you don't believe you're a sinner, you have no need for a savior. It's tragic. And if you need to, you got to discipline." They shook it off. No one went. And that effectively was pastoral neglect. They didn't love them. And it was a compromising situation, wasn't it? A compromising church. Oh, sure, they believed in all the orthodox doctrine, yet their toleration of everything else was distressing. And I just heard a year ago that that man committed suicide. You know, this is why we're here, dear listener. The point of our ministries is about ministering the truth of Jesus in love with the goal of salvation. And don't you see why Christ cares? He loves his people. He wants his truth to be proclaimed boldly. He wants us to be uncompromising and unfearful of that. Why? Because it's his purpose to evangelize the nations. And what good is a church that will not stand? What good is a church that will not tell the truth? What good is a church that will not speak against false worship, false ideas, or acceptance of cultural practices that are in conflict with the Word of God? This is our duty. Christ wants to evangelize the nations with his truth so that a multitude would be saved, of people that no man can number. This is counting the cost, dear Christians. This is what we signed up for, that we should know the truth, that we should contend earnestly for the faith once delivered for the saints, so that we would present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days are the worship service times. LindenURC.org is the website. So grateful you tuned in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.